This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
So here's the questions. What have I been feeding my pet? What can I feed her now? Such concerns have been raised by pet owners again and again in the months since the horrific national pet food recall and the deaths of at least 3,000 beloved dogs and cats. About 144 million canines and felines belong to families in the United States, and last year, their caretakers bought more than $15 billion worth of pet food. $15 billion with a B. That's quite a bit of kibble. With the threat of deadly illnesses hanging in the air, not to mention the questionable nutritional value of most factory-produced pet food, there's too much at stake for pet lovers to not be proactive. Let's welcome to the program author Joan Weisskopf. She is a veterinary clinical nutritionist, and her new book is Pet Food Nation, The Smart, Easy, and Healthy Way to Feed Your Pet Now. Good afternoon, Joan.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very good. Thanks for spending some time with us.
This is great.
Hey, great book, and we're going to give away a copy of the book at the end of this interview. A terrific book, very easy to read, very reader-friendly. Joan, what was your reaction when we were having those big recalls? I guess you weren't surprised at all.
I wasn't surprised because back in February, I did an interview with some Associated Press writers, and they were asking me about some, you know, boutique places to go buy pet foods and things, and I said, that's all great. But you open a bag, and this is an accident waiting to happen. And boy, was that was fairly prophetic.
Now, without getting too technical on us, because
right.
Lord knows I can't handle that.
Right, but I don't want to do that. That's not how we're going to win friends here.
What is it about the commercial pet food that's on the shelf now that is so bad for our pets?
It's mostly, real simply, these foods are a grain-based diet. Our dogs and cats are carnivores. They are not supposed to be eating a diet predominantly composed of grain and grain product. That's it in a nutshell. It's just that simple.
They
need protein from meat, period. End of story.
Even the stuff in the cans?
That's not any more meat than is in the dry food.
Really?
Go read the ingredients.
That's amazing, because you think when you get your dry fruit, and then you think when you get in the cans, you're giving them more meat.
It's just extruded in a different shape to make it, you know, viewer-friendly to you.
Wow.
Read it. It's 14, 9%, 8% protein. Read it.
That's amazing. So we've got a lot of pets out there that aren't getting what they need.
Exactly.
Wow. So give us like the ABCs, the basics of what they should be getting, of basic sound pet nutrition.
A dog and cat, like I said, carnivore. Cats more so than dogs. The dog can get by with a little added grain and they'll scavenge, you know, around for all kinds of things in the grass. But cats are true carnivores. They need meat. It's just that simple. They're no different than the lion sitting in the zoo.
Wow. So when my cats in the backyard come, when I see them with a little, and I've seen this with a baby rabbit or a bird or a field mouse, that they're not just out on a lark. I mean, they're getting something they need.
They are getting something they need. That's what they would eat, and that's what they need to eat.
We're talking with Joan Weisskopf. Her new book is Pet Food Nation, What Your Pets Wish That You Knew. So, Joan, is there a process? Well, I guess if we know what we shouldn't feed them, what should we be giving them?
It's fine to cook. It's or lightly steam. Go ahead and use turkey, chicken, fish. All of these things are good. Rabbit. I mean, now, you know, we can get into some pretty fancy meats, and whereas the animals would kill these rabbits, you know what, you go to try to buy a rabbit in the store, it's pretty expensive. But, you know, that being said, it's great for them. So I'm not advocating you go out and buy fresh, you know, rabbit, because I know that costs real money, and most people aren't willing to do that. But it is very good. These animals should be eating these kinds of foods.
So they should be eating people food then?
They should be eating the good from the people food, absolutely.
Right. That, you don't want to just pour your bag of potato chips in the bowl.
That's right.
Is there a process that we should sort of transition them off of what they may have had their whole life to this better food?
Again, I bring up a chapter, I think, in Pet Food Nation about making the transition. Just do it slowly. don't, you know, stop one thing one day and cold turkey and the next day start something else. That's very disruptive. It would be disruptive to you. You know, you take 7 to 10 days, add some new, 25% maybe, use 75% of what you were doing, sit there for a couple of days, make it 50-50 for a couple of days, then flip-flop. Make it 75% new, 25% old, and hopefully by about 10 days later, you should have been transitioned nice and smooth, no upset to the dog or cat, and you're on a new diet.
Joan Weisskopf, she's a veterinary clinical nutritionist. Her new book is Pet Food Nation. Joan, how many dogs and cats at your house?
Do I have to answer that? I'm just kidding. I have 7 dogs.
7 dogs? That's all right. That's all right. I assume you have a big backyard.
I have a very lovely backyard.
And so walk us through dinner at your house for your dogs. What do you do?
I am very fortunate. I live near one of the premier chicken packers in the country, a company called Everly Poultry. They package private label for all the finest cuts of chicken you'll find in the top stores across the country. I go down there. I send a lot of dog customers, cat customers down there. I buy, you know, 40, 50 pounds of chicken pieces and freeze them up in packages and take them out on a weekly basis, cook up that chicken with vegetables, whatever I have around. And that's what my dogs get for dinner.
Now, what do we see in our pets when they're not getting this type of this protein and these things that they really need to be eating?
You know, one of the first things I think that you'll notice is, you know, they have sort of dry, lifeless coats. You might see them scratching and itching and red spots and who knows what else pops up on their skin. I mean, those are sure signs that there's something wrong.
Now, a lot of people listening might be thinking, you know, I don't live near a processing plant, so I can't do that. And it sounds expensive to feed your pets the meat that your family might be eating. But I think if you add up what you're spending on pet food,
yep,
on that processed grain stuff.
Exactly.
It might actually balance out.
I think it more than balances out in the favor of you move to, you can buy chicken on sale sometimes for 69 cents a pound. Come on. You're not paying 69 cents a pound for pet food.
Joan Weisskopf, her new book is Pet Food Nation, the smart, easy, and healthy way to feed your pet now. Hey, Joan, should we, it can't be one size fits all. Do we treat different, like, for example, dogs, do we treat them differently when it comes to feeding them healthy?
Yeah, different dogs have different nutritional needs. A puppy needs more per its body weight than maybe a more sedentary adult. You know, your sled dogs up in Alaska running an Iditarod certainly have a higher need for calories and protein than, you know, your little couch potato watching TV at home with you. So, yeah, you have to make adjustments.
I thought it was interesting in your book, you point out the obvious that I had never really thought of, but throughout most of human history, dogs were eating what people were eating. We didn't have bags of, you know, grain products sitting in a store somewhere for them.
I try very hard just to make you think, see where we came, where we've gone off the road. And you know what? Try to get yourself back on the road. We really were there before.
Hey, Joan, if we feed our pets better, should they be living longer? Like, do dogs and cats die sooner than they would, say, a couple hundred years ago?
I think we have a greater incidence now of cancers, all the same things that affect us. So many of these cats become diabetic from eating this constant bombardment of a grain-based diet. Our dogs and cats have so many joint problems, especially our bigger dogs. That's partially diet-related.
We're talking with Joan Weisskopf. Her new book is Pet Food Nation, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you have a question for Joan. Are there any commercial pet foods that you can recommend?
I think there are a few on the market, and they're, you know, smaller companies, not trying to make that $15 billion mark. And I mention a couple of them in my book. I'd be happy to, you know, if you want me to say them on the air, that's
sure,
fine.
Sure, yeah,
too.
That's fine.
Okay, well, there's a small company. They're now based out of Atlanta, Georgia. A company, give you their website, is just, you go to www.f as in Frank, R, R, flintriverranch.co.com/7478. That's Flint River Ranch. They make dog and cat food, pretty healthy stuff, made all out of human-grade ingredients, organic, and in a pinch, I would use it myself.
And this is obviously prepared food for pets that's going to be more protein than they're getting now.
It's a better protein. This is the one company in the United States that I know of that actually bakes the food slowly, carefully, and doesn't extrude it under high heat and pressure, which is how 99% of your dog food and cat food is prepared these days.
Joan Weisskopf, she's a veterinary clinical nutritionist. Her new book is Pet Food Nation. Joan, do you recommend dogs for, do you recommend bones for dogs?
It's fine to give your dog a bone. Make sure they're not cooked. Once you cook these bones, you take all the moisture out. You know, think about a nice fresh chicken, and it's all kind of slimy and wet, and those chicken bones aren't quite as menacing looking as they are when you take that chicken off the grill and there's nothing but splintery shards left. So, again, if you're going to feed a nice marrow bone, get a nice fresh marrow bone. Go ahead and let the dog gnaw on that.
And you don't have to worry about him choking or anything.
On those big fresh marrow bones, it'd be pretty hard for any dog size I know to swallow one of those.
And should we give milk to our cats?
Again, that's sort of a myth that it shouldn't be followed. Once our puppies and kittens, you know, move past the first month or two of life, they do not have the enzyme any longer to digest milk products. It's not real good for them. They can't use it. That being said, yogurt. Use yogurt. It is good for the pets. It has a, it's a soured milk product. They can use what's good from the yogurt.
And I imagine the probiotics in the yogurt are as good for us as they are for the pet.
It's absolutely the best for these pets.
Interesting. We're talking with Joan Weisskopf. Her new book is Pet Food Nation. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. What about older dogs? There's a lot of folks, I'm sure, who are listening who have a dear old member of the family, and they want to make sure that in the last few years this their friend has left, that they eat right. Should they still be getting a lot of protein?
It's even more critical for our older friends that they get, you know, high protein, but the protein needs to come from meat. It's easily able for them to digest, assimilate. You don't start taking protein away. Our bodies all break down as we get older, and you have to give them more and better just to make up for the deficit that it's harder for them to use.
Joan, we had a family friend who had a dog that was really sick, just dying. I mean, this dog had a limited number of days. So the family said, you know what, we don't care what it costs, we're just going to they're going to go out eating good food. And so they cooked all this food. And you know what? That dog turned around, got totally healthy, because all of a sudden it was eating vegetables and
there
hamburger and really, really healthy food.
You don't want to make, you know, rash promises, but it makes a difference. And again, this is the way things were done 40, 50 years ago. You did not go to a grocery store and walk down the aisle and choose between Alpo and Calcan. It didn't exist.
And our pets were healthier back then.
I think for the most part they really were. We didn't have all this incidence of joint disease and kidney failure, and you know, I think the pets were healthier.
Yeah. Hey, Joan, how should you feed a dog, for example? Is it like in the morning and at dinner you put down a big plate of healthy food a couple times a day?
I advocate feeding twice a day. It's not convenient for everybody, that's fine, but put down what they need, leave it there 15 minutes. If they don't eat it, pick it up. We're not in a free feeding, and that again is very unnatural for a dog or a cat. They went out, they gorged themselves, they made their kill and stuffed their faces. They walked away from that kill, they slept it off, only to repeat the process maybe 24 hours later.
Joan Weisskopf, a veterinary clinical nutritionist. She's the author of this new book here, Pet Food Nation. Joan, what is it you think, and we've talked about some of them, but what is it you think that people perhaps don't know or don't understand about this subject?
Well, I, I just think that, you know, the advertising and the money that's been put into making slick packaging and convincing you that, hey, this is, we know more than you do. You know what? Open this bag. It's better because everything's in there. That's just not true. And you just, again, I just have to try to make you think, you know, I don't know what, you know, what's a common breed. You know, maybe you have a dog. Where did your dog come from? Where was it born? What's its native, you know, habitat? Think about that. Think about it. I mean, maybe you have a big Akita. Those are dogs native to Japan. They lived along the water. Those dogs can subsist beautifully on a predominantly fish-based diet. That's where they came from. That's where they should return.
Joan Weisskopf, her new book is Pet Food Nation. Joan, thanks so much.
Hey, it's been great.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.